Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 22. To begin with tonight, Proverbs 10 and verse number 22. It says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it." In the Bible, the word blessing or blessed is a synonym of the word happy. All right, what is a synonym? It's not something you put on buns and make. It's not cinnamon. Synonym. Well, it's a synonym. John Ray.
It's a word that is not necessarily the same spelling, but it can mean the same thing.
Okay, they have similar meanings. Okay, so a synonym. So here's a synonym for blessed is happy. Blessed and happy are the same thing. All right, now, so as we look at this, the word blessed means to be happy, to be praised, to be benefited, to be prosperous, or to be wished well, to be blessed. If someone blesses you, they're saying something nice about you, they're praising you, they're uplifting you, they're honoring you in some way, and we enjoy having blessings. How many of you would agree that it's far better to be blessed than to be cursed? All right, you agree with that? I think all of us, if you're thinking, it's better to be blessed than to be cursed. All right? And God tells us in Proverbs many ways how we can be blessed by God and by others around us if we'll do these things. 12 ways we're going to look at here tonight covers most of the verses in Proverbs that deal with the subject of blessing. And so I want to show them to you tonight, and I encourage you to write them down, think about them. Number one is found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 3, you can turn there and have a look at that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Again, the word happy means blessed. So he says here, happy or blessed is the man that findeth wisdom. Now, when it says man, it doesn't just mean male. It means a person. All right. So whether you're male or female, it applies to you. You can be blessed or happy if you find wisdom. Now, remember what wisdom is. All right. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. You need God's help to make right choices in life. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. And God says here that if we find wisdom, that we will be blessed or happy. You know, when we make choices all by ourselves without God's help, we make foolish choices. The two main characters in the book of Proverbs are the fool and the wise person. The fool and the wise person. The fool is the one who makes his own choices, does things his way, doesn't consider what God wants. The wise person says, "I want to know what God wants. I want to follow God's way. I want to do what God wants me to do." That's the wise person. Now, God tells us here that if you want to be blessed, one of the ways to be blessed is to find wisdom. We need to find or get wisdom and follow that wisdom. Now, where do we find wisdom? We find it in the Bible. We find it in the Bible. All right, the Bible is full of wisdom. Why? Because the Bible is God's Word. And God is all wise. And so when we study God's Word, He gives us wisdom and shows us wise things. And one of the books, probably the book that has more wisdom in it than any of the other books of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that some of the Bible isn't wise. I'm saying if you want a concentrated dose of wisdom, go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs is a concentrated course on wisdom. There's all kinds of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, telling you how to make right choices, how to avoid bad mistakes, how to choose the right friends, how to obey your parents, how to do what's right in school, all these things in life. Proverbs fills us in on these ways of wisdom. So God says, if you want to be blessed, number one, you need to find wisdom. You need to get wisdom. Number two, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 32, Proverbs 8:32. Proverbs 8, verse number 32. "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, blessed are they that keep my ways." Proverbs 8:32. Who was talking here? Well, we need to ask ourselves a question. You read through Proverbs 8, and you will see that it starts out in verse number 1. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the paths. She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, and at the coming of the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Who is talking here? Wisdom is talking. Now, when something that is not alive is treated like a person, we call that personification. Great big word. But wisdom here is not alive. Wisdom's not a person. Wisdom's not someone you could see or talk to, per se. But wisdom here is personified. It is made like a person. It's talking to us. And so chapter 8 of Proverbs is wisdom talking to us. And wisdom says in verse number 32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, listen to me." All right? Listen, open your ears, hear and obey me, and keep my ways, or guard my ways. So listen to me, obey me, and guard what I tell you, because this will guide you in life. So wisdom is saying, if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, if you want God's blessing, you want people to bless you, the way to do it is you need to be listening to wisdom and keeping her ways. So the first thing we saw is you need to get wisdom. Second thing Solomon tells us is not only do you need to get wisdom, but you need to listen to wisdom and obey wisdom and do what wisdom tells you, because wisdom will lead you in the right way. Then you can be blessed or happy. All right. Number three. We find this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 6. Proverbs 10, verse number 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Blessings are on the head of the just. All right. Now, as you find a verse like this, you need to ask yourself, what do these words mean? All right. When he says blessings are upon the head of the just, what is just? Well, we know how we use just in our English. You know, just wait a minute. Or, you know, I've got just three things to talk about tonight. But that's not the kind of just this year. All right. When the just is used like this in the Bible, it's talking about a righteous person or a person who is just before God. They are right with God. All right. So he says here that a person who does right can be blessed. Blessed are those. Blessings are upon the head of the just. So the person who does what is right can be blessed. Blessed by God, blessed by other people. If we want to be blessed, we need to do what is right. You know, that doesn't just apply to moms and dads. It applies also to the children. There's actually a verse in the Bible, and I forgot to look it up. It's in the book of Proverbs, that says that children are known by their deeds. Even the child is known by his deeds. I forget exactly how it goes. All right. So God says that people know you by what you do, what you're like. You know, if I was to sit down and describe, if somebody came to me and said, describe all the people in your church, and I was to describe you, how would I describe you? Well, I'd have to describe you by what I know and what I can see. You know, I don't live with you, so I'm not there all the time to watch everything you do, but the things that kind of come out in your life on the outside are the things that I see. And those are the kind of things that I would use to describe you. And God says here that a person who is just, who does right, they will be blessed. Others will bless them, say, there's a wonderful person. They're such a nice person. They're always friendly. They're always kind, or whatever it is. They do what is right. There's a just person. And so God says there's blessings upon the person who does right. It's not enough to know what is right. You know, some of you boys know what is right, but you don't always do what is right. Isn't that right? You know what's right, but you don't always do what's right. Now, knowing what is right is part of the solution, but doing what is right will fix it. All right? We need to do what's right. And God says we need to do what is right. And then when we do that, we will be happy. Did you realize that obeying and doing what is right will make you happy? It really will. It really will. You'll be a much happier person if you do what is right than if you do what is wrong. And so Solomon's reminding us of this. Number four is in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26. Proverbs 11, verse number 26. Proverbs 11, 26 says, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." What in the world does that mean? All right, think about this. All right, I'm going to explain it to you. I'll read it again. "He that withholdeth corn shall be the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. All right, this verse is, first of all, the word corn there refers to grain in general. It's an old English word that means grain. All right, so if you're a farmer, and most everybody was in Bible days, and you had your, you cut your grain, maybe you had wheat in your field, and you bring all the wheat in, and you had lots of wheat, and there were people in your town that didn't have very good crops. For some reason, theirs didn't grow very well, and you had lots. But you said, I'm not going to sell my wheat until the price goes up. I'm not going to sell it for, you know, $2 a bucket. I'm going to sell it, wait until it's valuable, and I'll sell it for $5 a bucket. And he says that if you do that, the people are going to curse you. There's people in your town that are hungry. They're going to bed without enough food at night, and they're hungry. And they just want to buy, and you won't sell it to them because, no, I'm waiting until the price goes up. You give me $5 a bucket, I'll sell it to you. But until then, no. And he said, the people are going to curse that person. But, he says, the blessings are upon the head of him that selleth it. So what he's telling us here is we should not be greedy. If we are greedy and want more and want more, then people are not going to bless us. But generous people, if people that are generous and unselfish, will be blessed. So if we're generous, it doesn't mean that we need to get cheated. It doesn't mean that anything like that, but it means that we need to be fair and we need to be generous. And people will bless us when we do that. If we keep it back from people when we could be a help to them and we said, nope, I'm not going to sell it to you until you give me a lot more money for it because I'm the only one that's got any, so I got monopoly on the price. He says that people are going to curse you for that. That's not right. That's not the good thing to do. So God's just telling you, don't be greedy. And if you want to be blessed, God says, don't be greedy. You know, this applies not just to adults, but it also applies to children. It applies when you're playing with your toys and when you're playing with your friends and whatever you're doing. We need to be not greedy. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy about things. And God will bless us if we're not greedy people. Number 5, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21. Proverbs 14, verse number 21. Proverbs 14, 21 says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. This kind of goes along a little bit with the one before this, but it's in a little different vein. God says here that we will be happy or blessed if we have mercy or show favor to those who are poor or afflicted. Now, there's people in our world that are poor because they just don't take care of what they got. All right, I have a hard time feeling sorry for people that, you know, they get paid and they run out and go buy alcohol and cigarettes and they use it all up and then they say, oh, we're poor, we don't have any food to feed the family. I said, sorry, mate, you used all your food money on your alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and stuff like that. I have a hard time feeling sorry for people like that. But there's some people that are genuinely poor. No matter how hard they try, they just can't seem to get things to work. And they are poor. But the word also doesn't just mean poor without money. It also has to do with being afflicted. It could be referring to handicapped people. You know, people that, you know, for one reason or another, they've been hurt or injured or are crippled in some way. And, you know, we need to be merciful to them. They, you know, crippled people don't want, usually they don't want pity. They want us to just treat them fairly. One of our daughter-in-laws is crippled. She can't walk. And, you know, she doesn't want pity. She loves it when people will pray for her, pray that the Lord will heal her. And she just likes to be treated like everybody else. And, you know, that's the way that a lot of disabled people feel. They don't want pity. They just want to be treated like normal. And to be a help to them, an encouragement to them. So the word here can deal with being poverty-stricken or afflicted in some way. And God says that if we have mercy, mercy is to show favor or to be a help to. If we show mercy to people who are poor or afflicted, God says we can be happy. They will bless us. God will bless us. So here's an easy way that all of us can be blessed by God and blessed by others is treat other people in a very kind and generous way and be a help to them if they're struggling in life. If they're going through some troubles and struggles in life, be a help to them. Be an encouragement to them. And people will bless you if you'll do that. It's usually not very hard. It's just something that we forget to do, or maybe we're too selfish to do it sometimes. But it can be something that can be a great help. So have mercy on the poor, and they will bless you, and God will too. All right, number six, we can be blessed by trusting the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse number 20. Proverbs 16, verse number 20. Proverbs 16:20, it says, "He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." You know, it's easy to trust God when everything's going well. You ever notice that? I sure have. If everything's fine, everything's going well, you know, your day's going great, and you're feeling good, and you don't have any aches and pains, and you know, everything's going fine, it's easy to trust God then. But when things are going wrong, there's a temptation to think, "Oh, God, where are you when I need you?" Instead of trusting God. God says here, if we will trust Him, that we can be happy. We can be blessed. If we lay our burdens on Him and say, "God, you take my burdens. You carry my burdens." You know, isn't that what God tells us to do? Psalm 55, 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be care-filled for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God says, "Give me your troubles, I'll carry them for you." Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." So God is saying, trust me, trust me. And so God tells us here, if we trust Him, what's He say? If we trust Him, He'll bless us. He'll bless us. Trusting God is believing that He is strong enough to help our problem and then giving Him the burden to carry. It's both trusting Him to believe that He is strong enough to help us, and then giving Him the burden to carry. And God says, "If we'll do that, I'll bless you. I'll bless you." And we want to be blessed by God. Here's one of the ways we can: by giving our troubles to the Lord and trusting Him with our burdens. Number seven, Proverbs 22, verse 9. Proverbs 22, verse number 9. Proverbs 22:9, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor." All right, a little bit like one of the ones we've just seen. But the word bountiful. That word bountiful means good. It refers to something that functions properly. It works properly. All right, so he's saying if you have a bountiful eye, if your eye is working properly. All right, so if your eye is working properly, he's not just saying, you know, it opens and shuts and you can see what you're looking at. He's not just talking about that. He's talking about using your eye as an overall thing. He that has a bountiful eye, an eye that is looking carefully and working properly, he's able to see the needs of others. All right, so when we open our eyes, if our eyes are working the way God wants them to, we will see the needs of other people. You know, many times we get nearsighted and all we see is our own selves. We see what I want to do, and we see what I have my needs of and what my desire is, and we don't see the needs of others. Right? And it isn't always just using our eyeballs, it's using our whole senses of seeing with our character. So when you see somebody else that's having a hard time, now let's put it in a practical sense. You children sitting around playing games, and you see that mom needs some help in the kitchen. You got to make a choice. You can say, "I didn't see. I'm going to keep playing games." Or you can say, "Mom, can I help you?" Or better yet, you can just jump up and go say, "Mom, what can I do to help?" That is seeing and reaching out to help, meet needs. So here's a person that has a bountiful eye. They see a need, they see a problem, and they go to solve the problem. They see what needs to be done and they fix it. As husbands, when we see a need around the house, something's broken, we ought to do our best to try to fix it or get it fixed so that it works properly. We see the problem, we put some action into doing something about it. So it's seeing things and reaching out to help. So he says, he that has a bountiful eye, an eye that is working properly, will see things that it's in focus instead of just focusing on ourselves. You know, it is very, very easy to focus on ourselves. Think about me. Think about, I want to do this, and I have this need, and I want to use my time like this. I don't really want to help them because I want to do what I want to do. And we get selfish and focus on ourselves. God says the bountiful eye is an eye that looks out and sees the needs of others and tries to reach out and help. Okay? And so God says if we do that, they will bless us and God will bless us. If you want blessing, God says have a bountiful eye. All right? Number eight. Proverbs 24, verse 24. And verse 25. Proverbs 24, 24, and 25. All right? Proverbs 24, 24 says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. All right, now, I had to read both these verses so you get the context. He's talking about a judge that was not just. The judge looks at the case, he sees all the evidence, he knows the guy's guilty, and he says, innocent. Everybody goes, what? He's guilty. I said he's innocent. He's free. Unjust judge. Right? What's going to happen? The people will curse him. Terrible judge. Shouldn't have done that. That wasn't right. Everybody knew he was guilty. And the judge said he was innocent. Didn't even give him a fine. Just let him go. That's not just. That's wrong. All right, so the people are going to curse that kind of a judge because he was doing what was wrong. All right, then God says here that, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight. All right, the word rebuke there has to do with rebuking or convicting. So here's the judge that convicts the bad guy and says he did wrong. You're guilty. Here's your punishment for what you did. The people will bless him because the judge did what was right. The guy was guilty. He deserved to be punished. And the people say, yes, that's a good judge. That's the kind of judge we need. And so God says here that we need to rebuke the wicked and do right. We need to be fair. All right, now how does this apply to us? How does this apply to you young boys? How does this apply? We need to be fair in our dealings with other people. All right? We need to do what is right. We need to make sure we always do what is right and we don't call wrong right. All right, so if you do something's wrong and somebody says, did you do it? Don't lie. Don't say, no, I didn't. No, I wasn't wrong. I was right. No, tell the truth. We need to be honest. We need to tell the truth. And when we do what is right and we tell the truth and we treat people fairly, people will treat us with blessing. God will bless us, others will bless us if we treat people fairly. And so we need to do that. We need to treat our friends fairly. We need to treat our spouse fairly. And parents, one of the toughest things you got to do, this is one of the hardest jobs of a parent, is to deal with your children fairly and consistently. It's hard. Because we're humans. But we need to be fair and we need to be consistent. Now, we need to be firm. There's nothing, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we need to be fair about things and we need to be consistent. Consistent's the hardest part. To always do the right thing as we should. And we need to be consistent. All right, that's number eight. Number nine. Proverbs 28, verse 14. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. All right, the word happy there again is the word for blessed. So blessed or happy, blessed is a man that feareth alway. Now, what's that mean? If you're always scared, you're going to be blessed. No, it's not talking about being scared. You're scared of everything, you know. And so here's a person that's scared of everything, scared of worms and scared of everything, you know. Yeah. So, does that mean they're going to be blessed because they're scared? No, it's not talking about that kind of scared. All right. What's he talking about here? He that feareth always. Talking about fearing God. Fearing to offend God. You know, if we fear to offend God, God says, I'll bless you for that. What's it mean to fear to offend God? It means I've got to make a choice. You know, I was going to go to this place and what would God think? Oh, I don't think God would like me going there. No, I'm not going to go there because God wouldn't like that. So I fear God so I don't do something. Or I don't make a choice that I would kind of like to do, but I fear God because I know that's not what God would want. All right? Now, an illustration. You all know when I was a boy, I lived on a farm. And on our farm, we had an electric fence that went all the way around the farm. And we kept it hot with the electric fence charger. And the purpose of the fence was to keep the cows from getting out. But sometimes the cows were greedy. And they'd come up to the fence. They knew that wire was hot, all right? And because they'd touched it before, all right? And when they're little calves and you're just teaching them what the hot wire is, they'll walk right up to it, stick their nose on it, boom! And then they jump like, whoa, what was that? Oh, the lightning hit me. Whoa, what was that? And they learn quickly not to touch that fence, all right? And so, but they'll sometimes reach under it. And they'll reach as far under and get their long tongue out there and grab that piece of grass and pull it in. They'll reach under that fence as far as they can to try to get to what's on the other side. Because they don't really fear the fence like they should. But if they really fear the fence, they say, I'm not going near that thing. Because the last time I got near that thing, it bit me and I'm not getting near it again. And they stay a long ways away. But if they don't fear it, they'll try reaching under. All right? Now, if we don't fear God, we're going to try reaching out for those things that God says no. Yeah, just a little bit, God, just a little bit. It won't hurt a little bit. And we try reaching out for those things we should not do, telling a little lie, or going places we shouldn't go, or listening to something we shouldn't listen to, or thinking about something we shouldn't think about, and just a little won't hurt. And we try reaching out, and we're not really afraid of God like we should be. That's not right. God says if we fear God always, if we're fearing to offend God, God will bless us. You want to be blessed of God? Stay away from evil. Stay away from evil. Just say, God doesn't want me near that. I'm not going near it. God doesn't want me to act that way. I'm not going to act that way. God doesn't want me to go to that place. No, I'm not going to go there. God doesn't want me to say that. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm staying away from that. And God will bless us. We'll do that. It's a key for God's blessing. All right. Now, number 10, Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there's no vision. The vision here is not talking about a dream or something, you know, you ate too much pizza and last night you had this vision in your sleep. And you know, it's not talking about that, all right? He's talking about getting direction from God. A vision from God. In the Old Testament days, God did work through dreams and visions to give people understanding of what God wanted because they didn't have the Bible. But now we got the Bible. God doesn't use visions to guide us. God uses the Bible to guide us. And so he says here, where there is no vision, the people perish. They go astray. They get off track. They don't know which way to go. The word perish there has the idea of being led astray. All right. So if we have no direction from God, we're going to go astray. But if we spend time in the Bible and on our knees in prayer and we get direction from God for our life, we'll go the straight and narrow way. And God said, I'll bless that. You'll be blessed if you do that. But if you don't get any vision from God, if you don't get any direction from God's Word to guide your daily life, you're going to go astray. And when you go astray, you're not going to be happy. You look at people that are going the wrong direction, they are not happy. Oh, some of these people that are on drugs and they're into immorality and they're into all these things of the world. Yeah, we're having a great time. Yeah, you get alone with them when they're all by themselves and see how happy they are. Miserable people. Miserable. Unhappy. You know, the next morning after they've had a big late night party and they've been drunk and stoned and the next morning is, oh, I hurt all over and everything aches. Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, are you happy? Oh, you got to be kidding, man. I'm not happy at all. See, they're not happy. That's not a happy life. That's a terrible life. Right? God said, you want to be happy? Here's the way to be happy. He says, do what's right. He says, follow the Word. Get a vision from God. The direction from God's Word. Let the Bible direct your life. Then you'll be happy. You let the world direct your life, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. So God's Word is the direction that we need. Two more to go. Number 11. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. God says if we're going to be faithful, we'll abound with blessing. We're faithful. There means to be firm or steadfast. It's someone who just says, you know, I've planted my feet in the concrete and I'm not going to move. I know what I believe and I'm going to stand for the Word of God. I'm going to be solid. But in the context, when we read a verse like this, look at the context. What's the context? A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So he's comparing a faithful man with one who hastes to be rich. He's in a hurry to get rich. And a faithful man. So what he's basically saying is, a faithful man is not one who tries to get rich quick. And a man who tries to get rich quick is not a faithful man. All right, you can't be both. So, God is telling us here that we need to be the opposite of one who's rushing to get rich. The devil wants us to think that riches bring happiness. Young people, listen to me. Riches do not make you happy. Money will not make you happy. In fact, some of the richest people in the world are the most unhappy people in the world. Many of the very, very rich people commit suicide. They kill themselves because they are so unhappy. Riches does not make a person happy. The devil wants us to think so. But people get into huge debts, gigantic debts, to try to be able to have the rich things of this life. Debts are slave drivers. Debts put us into slavery. Debts cause stress. Debts cause marital conflicts by the scores. Debts are not good. Don't get into debts. You young people, when you get old enough that they try to get you to have a credit card, the best thing to do is say, forget it. Use a debit card. A debit card keeps you out of trouble because you only got money that is in your account. A credit card uses somebody else's money and then you're a slave until you pay it back. Credit cards can be helpful. I do have one. I use it occasionally, and it gets paid off right away when I use it. But if you can't do that, or if you won't do that, you're better off not having a credit card and just using a debit card. Don't get into debts. Debts are enslaving. Even when buying a home or buying a car, you're better off saving to buy a car than going into debt to buy a car. Because the old car wears out and gets broken and falls apart sometimes before the bill, before you even get it paid for. And you're like, oh, I'm still paying for that old car, and it's all gone now. That's not a good way to go. All right? That's not a good way. So use your head. Use wisdom. Go back to that very first thing. God says, get wisdom. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Number 12, Proverbs 31:28. Proverbs 31 is all about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. A virtuous woman is one who is strong in godly character. The word virtue means to be strong in godly character. To be strong in character. Virtuous. And every single one of us here can be a virtuous person. To be strong in godly character. You don't have to be old to be virtuous. You don't have to be a woman to be virtuous. Everybody can be virtuous if you're strong in godly character. All right? Now, the virtuous woman, because she was strong in godly character, her children could see that. And they would say, my mom is a good woman. She's a good woman. She's a wise woman. She loves God. You know, there's so many children today. You ask them, what do you think of mom? The old woman's a mean old... And they say all kinds of bad things about their mom. That's not right. But you know, you children ought to be able to say, my mom might not be perfect, but she's a good woman. She's a virtuous woman. And you know, moms, you need to strive to be virtuous. Dads, you need to strive to be virtuous. But you know, young people, you need to be striving to be virtuous too. To be all that God wants you to be. To be that kind of a person who is strong in godly character. And if we will be virtuous, God says that we will be blessed. We'll be blessed. Now, tonight we've looked at 12 ways to gain blessing. 12 ways to gain blessing. And if you wrote them down, you can go back over them and you can study over them. These are true things that God said will happen. If you do them, God will bless you. Others will bless you. If you disobey them, people will curse you and God will curse you. Now you got a choice. I think all of us have agreed at the start that we want to be blessed. We don't want to be cursed. So the way to be blessed is to do these 12 things that God said. And every one of us can And every one of us should work at trying to do these things, make them part of our lives. Okay? So study back over them again. Think about what we said, and your life will be much happier and much more productive and blessed if you will do that.